Welcome back to the show on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. I know you have a lot of radio choices. Appreciate you tuning in wherever you find us, over the air or on the stream. It's all good. You can find all of our shows, our podcasts, individual interviews, including the one I'm about to do, available at WTMJ.com or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all inclusive for all of that stuff. Great guests. They've been here before, and I always like talking to these gentlemen. From Washington County, I said Waukesha last time. They gave me this look like, does he know? Is he with it? Is he all there?
Happens all the time.
From Washington County, County Executive Josh Showman and Sheriff of Washington County, Marty Schultheis. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're here. It's always great to have you in studio. So I spent an hour talking about crime in schools, but we're going to shift and talk about communities. Sheriff, you're responsible for maintaining public safety in Washington County. And County Executive, you're responsible for kind of the leadership of that county, making sure things are moving in the right directions. We talked a few months ago about your original plan. It was about $3+ million, anti-crime plan. Pretty extensive. That was defeated by the voters in Washington County. So you've kind of rethought and rethunked the situation. I'm a big fan of local leadership. I was a local leader. And I like the way you've taken that message and done something with it. So I'm going to have you, County Executive, kind of talk about what this means. It's a little over $1 million. It's called the Anti-Crime Plan B. What is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we referred to our referendum process as the Anti-Crime Plan. And as you mentioned, it was over $3 million, about $3.6 million, 30 positions in the sheriff's office across the whole spectrum of everything the sheriff does. You know, and as you said, as county executive, my job is to make sure that departments across the county, including the sheriff's office, have the resources they need. So this was a resource issue. And everybody knows Washington County is a very conservative county. And this is really about the priority of safe and secure community versus low taxes and small government. And you can't have both when you're trying to add positions. You know, just adding people costs money. The community came out pretty loud and clear, 55-45. We don't want to spend that much money. And we pretty consistently heard it's too much too fast. And so we came back really within days of the no vote and sat down with the sheriff and myself and eventually my cabinet. And soon enough, it was all the department heads saying, what do you need, sheriff, exactly? Give us the baseline, like must live, can't live without right now, especially now that we've gone out on the road and told everyone, here's all the issues we've got very publicly. And so the sheriff came up with a couple scenarios. The cabinet worked together, got it down to about a third of the cost of the original referendum. And we feel like it's a good down payment, and yet we've got a long ways to go.
So, Sheriff, kind of run through some of the things that are in this slightly smaller version.
Sure. So it really was about, as the county executive said, about reprioritizing priorities and focusing on our most pressing needs. What we pared it down to was we thought the mental health component of the referendum was so very important. So part of the plan B is to still have those crisis intervention teams available to the entire Washington County residents. And that's pairing up a clinical social worker with a deputy, three teams of those that service the county 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's probably the part of the crime plan that remained the most intact. Because oftentimes law enforcement is the first to have contact with individuals in those situations and oftentimes are in the best position to start that crisis intervention process.
Let me ask you about that because it's something that gets – the words get tossed around a lot, mental health and what that means. When you're talking about public safety, since you – how long have you been in the business?
A little over 30 years.
Okay. So since you started, how has that reality changed when you're talking about the mental health, people you deal with, even challenges among your own staff?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be a trend that keeps increasing, and you see that throughout every socioeconomic group. You see it throughout the criminal justice system, not just in law enforcement, but in the jail, in the criminal justice system. So I think individual agencies and organizations are taking a different approach, trying to address that more pressing need.
And County Executive, how did you fund this? I know the answer because I read. Your staff did a great job of preparing me for the interview. But I think for the listeners and for the folks in Washington County, it's interesting the challenges of local budgets and how you're able to craft this and make this a reality.
coming from someone who's lived it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And the sheriff pointed out this was, you know, about setting priorities for what he needed. But more than that, it was about setting priorities within the county government. We only have so much money. Anybody who's been in or affiliated with local government knows those tax levy caps are pretty tight. And so, you know, I took the referendum as the voters saying, I'm taxed enough already. I don't want that much new tax. Figure out how to live within your means and do it by yourself. And that's what we did. And, you know, we really thought, as the sheriff said, that mental health thing was really important. It was too important to not reprioritize. So we took, I think, 11 positions throughout the remainder of the departments in the county, eliminated those, shifted the funding over to the sheriff's office and funded these programs. And then to enhance it one step farther, we took some of our ARPA money, and just within the last couple of days, we started announcing about $2 million in grants for local nonprofits for substance use and mental health programming that will complement these crisis response units. So we're trying everything we can to, as Governor Evers says, connect the dots, but at the same time do it in a way that's very fiscally conservative and responsive to the conservative values of Washington County.
You had a great quote, five words, in one of the pieces that your staff sent me. To do less with less. I want to have both of you guys explain that, because I used to say, we're going to do more with less, right? We have less resources, less people. We're going to do more because I want to go. It's go time. So explain that five-word sentence or phrase.
Yeah, yeah. So you heard the sheriff mention priorities. You've heard me mention priorities. When I say do less with less, I mean we have such a finite amount of resources. Government, I believe, in the last 30 years has just gotten into too many different things, and therefore we've gotten poorer at many of them. Instead, our do less with less is shrink the size of government, but the things you are left doing, do them very, very well. And that's why I felt so strongly that we had to shift these resources to the sheriff's department. It's our number one priority in Washington County, a safe and secure community. And with everything that's happening nationwide between the criminal justice system and the mental health system, it was a no-brainer. The question becomes, what else is not a priority? I mean, it implies that something else isn't going to get funded. And in this case, it did. And we've been doing that the last 9 years. This is just the most recent example.
And for sheriff, the reality is things are more difficult for public safety.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all, every agency is short-staffed, and the caseload increases, and cases are much more complex than they were when I first started 30 years ago. So there's a whole host of different challenges.
Walk through some of the newer challenges. We know fentanyl. You were relating a story. Tell the story about something that happened recently in Washington County.
Sure, yeah. And these stories are not unique to Washington County, nor the Wisconsin. It's really a national problem, is the fentanyl overdoses that we're experiencing. We just had one tragic incident this weekend, where a husband and wife both overdosed unintentionally but simultaneously, and you know, the lasting impacts of that for the children are long lasting.
Do you think the public, I've talked about it on the show, I know other shows talk about it as well, do you think the public really understands the scope of this problem? Because it's significant.
Yeah, I don't think they do. And normally we did a formal press release on that overdose, particularly just because of the two fatalities. And maybe law enforcement needs to do a better job of that. But we're trying to be sensitive to it's a very, very complex family issues that goes on that we don't talk about the specifics of it very often. But maybe we need to do more of that.
My studio guest on this Wednesday, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, Sheriff Marty Schultheis, talking about specifically the Anti-Crime Plan B, which is, I think, a rather innovative way to meet the challenges of modern leadership in a tough budget climate in Wisconsin and probably everywhere in the country, and law enforcement, public safety. We'll continue the conversation after this on WTMJ. Talk about crime as a sort of a theme of the show today. We started talking about schools, and we're going to get to that with one of our guests, Sheriff Marty Schultheis from Washington County. We're also joined by Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. So let's start with that. I mean, I spent an hour talking about violence in schools, disruptive behavior, sometimes threats to teachers and staff. One of the proposals, Wisconsin Assembly, is to require SROs. I know that's not your gig, and that you're not in charge of that, but you certainly have an involvement in schools. In your tenure, have you seen, because I want to get the real answer, have you seen a rise in these kinds of situations in school environments? And I probably know the answer to this. And are you responding to these calls?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned in the previous segment, investigations get more complex, and every kid has a cell phone on him. And the amount of time that law enforcement deals with crimes involving cell phones is dramatically increasing and exponentially in schools.
That whole cell phone thing, and I'm going to ask you a basic question. I don't think kids, I understand that parents are going to give their kids smartphones. I don't think they should be in the classroom. Do you agree or disagree?
I have a high school age child.
Well, then you know.
And I would appreciate that rule of law.
Why does it seem, is it a, I don't know if it's a freedom thing, why does that question seem so difficult for school districts to ask?
I second that emotion, and I don't understand either. If I'm the principal or superintendent, there's no way those phones are in classrooms. Now, that's easy for me to say, but I don't get it either.
I know society loves technology, and we like them. And I've had teachers call the show and say, yeah, it's in some cases it's an aid to learning. I get all that. But at the same time, that preoccupation with all the other things happening on the internet while you're supposed to be focused on the learning part of it seems to be challenging. As far as incidents, you talked about that. Staffing with this anti-crime plan B, are you going to be what you feel comfortable with as far as the people you need to do the job as sheriff?
The initial request that the staff came up with was 30 positions. This is 11 positions, but we're trying to address the most critical issues. So the plan includes two additional patrol officers, and in conjunction with the two additional officers and reassigning some things, we're able to increase our minimum staffing on two of the three shifts, which is extremely important. And then in the jail side of things, we're adding three correctional officers, because there's a certain segments of the jail that are very high need and only have one person monitoring a large section of the jail, where we really want to increase that to two. So we're getting to the point where we're really addressing the bare minimum needs right now.
I always want to ask public safety folks, in whatever capacity they do those jobs, how's their mental health? How are they feeling about things? We certainly talk about some of the big stories that happen. How are they feeling about their resources, their staffing, and the reception they get when they do their job?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because I'm from the old school and maybe didn't have that mindset, but I'm quickly learning that you need to take care of your own. So we've instilled a new chaplain program. We have a peer support program that's just getting off the ground. We actually have a training coming up next month where we're inviting spouses in for mental health training, so the spouses can see some recognition of some of the problems. So yeah, it's an area that I think law enforcement is getting much better at recognizing.
I love the forward thinking on that, and a lot of police chiefs that I've talked to, as well as sheriffs and deputies, say that that's kind of the direction things are going, and I think that's a good thing. All right, I got to ask you the shared revenue question, County Executive Josh Shulman. Lots of good discussions. It seems like there's sort of it's a plan A, because we haven't really addressed it in since Act 10 was implemented, and I'm a fan of Act 10, but I understood at the time, over time, there's a lot of unsustainable elements of that, not just the stuff that people talk about with unions, but the actual staffing of really important roles. As a county executive leading a pretty busy county, are you confident this is going to be moving in the right direction, fixing some of these budget woes that you like a lot of other county executives are facing?
I'm hopeful. The system is broken. The financial system for local governments is broken. It's been broken for 15, 20 years. We've known it for a long time. I think the legislature in particular, I have told them many times, Act 10 was great almost 15 years ago. You need another tool like that that sustains us for the next 10 years. So I think there's consensus around that. What I'm not so sure there's consensus on is what is the solution. Now, I think local governments, counties could do a much better job for themselves by sharing services. We have an awful lot of government and an awful lot of duplication in this state. We have four dispatch centers in Washington County alone. There really doesn't need to be more than one.
I remember fighting that battle, and shared services always a touchy subject. Everybody loves their own people, and they love their own buildings and their own equipment. Are we moving in the right direction on that one?
I think what's going to be the rub. I think the legislature is going to want to see some tangible reforms in this area before they're willing to just fork over a bunch of more money. And what I'm hearing from some is that they just expect that the state's going to shovel more money to them, or in our case, the county's going to shovel more money to them. It's just not going to happen. So I think we've got to, just like with Act 10, there's going to have to be a give and a take, a little bit of reform and a little bit of revenue. But, you know, government's got the same problem as every private sector industry, that inflation for us is the same as for anybody else. Rockwell, the Northwestern Mutual, doesn't matter. We're facing the same stuff. So
the cost of running a city, county, community never go down.
That's right. That's right. I mean, corrections officer is a fantastic example. We're going through this right now. Like, it's a really hard job. People don't want to do it. It doesn't jump off the page as, oh, I've always wanted to be a corrections officer. We're going to have to pay them a few more bucks to get them.
Hey, real quick, we got a texter question that asked, the changes you're talking about in Plan B, are those already being implemented, or is that on the horizon?
The funding has been granted, so we're in the process of doing the recruiting for all of the positions.
And how many positions?
It's a total of 11.
All right. And somebody else asked real quickly, how do you measure the success slash failure of eliminating some positions and adding in other places? How is that measured, county executive?
So I think this really comes down to, how do we measure the success of the anti-crime plan proposals and exactly what the sheriff's executing. We know we already have a whole system of how we prioritize every program. The positions that were eliminated, we knew, because we've set priorities and we put metrics to them, they are just a lower priority. It's not that they're not a priority. It's just they're a lower priority than the positions in the sheriff's office and the human services area. So we feel confident in that. Now it's, does this funding work for these programs?
I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. There are a lot of great examples of local leadership. Two of them are right in the studio right now. From Washington County, Executive Josh Schulman, Sheriff Marty Schulteis. Thanks to both of you for being leaders.
Thanks for having us on.